اوكي الحمد لله. السلام عليكم ورحمه الله. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على رسول الله وعلى اله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا انك السميع المجيب الدعاء. اللهم اني اعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع وقلب لا يخشع ونفس لا تشبع ودعاء لا يسمع. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد اذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. الحمد لله رب العالمين. We're back. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us always meet each other for his sake. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in this program and every program anybody does. Walillahi alhamd. Just as I was thinking, one of the beautiful things it was said to me long time ago when I was memorizing the Quran, one of the teachers said to me, how lucky we are. And she was talking about herself and the students, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us busy with his words. Because we're all busy, right? We're all running around. We all say this, you know, I don't have time. I wish the day is 36 hours. I wish the week is 8 days. But you need to know what are you literally busy with, right? And I never thought of it, you know, because when you memorize the Quran or when you're studying especially Islamic studies, you are so focused on it. And you don't see the bigger picture unless somebody outside come and tell you. So when she felt that it's becoming too much on us, and she says, every time you are doing this, remember that Allah kept you busy with his words. He could have kept you busy with something else. So alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, I'm saying this because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened for us that we have every week, inshallah, this is going to be continuous, yani bi'idhnillah. It's at least 6 weeks for Surah Al-Kahf. And that Allah is bringing us every Tuesday for no reason. It's beautiful. We meet each other, you know, we miss each other. But the main reason we are here is to know about his words. And I always say this to myself before anybody else. What is so special about us? Honestly, right? Nothing. If anything, we are actually immersed in his blessings. Many people who are better than us in his eyes, they have minimum of what we have, but still he is giving it to us. So I want everyone to be really grateful to the fact that this is available. We have the ability to come. We are coming, and don't take it for granted. And I say this to myself all the time, because Allah can take it in a second. For whatever the reason, Allah لا ينتزع العلم ولكن ينتزع انتزاع ولكن ينتزع العلماء ولكن ينتزع العلم بقبض العلماء. The meaning of it, Allah does not remove knowledge by just removing knowledge. Rather, what he does is he removes the teachers. And you see it these days. It's very few. If you look at 20 years ago, there were so many names. Every country has big name. I'm talking about now, not before. And now look how when the a scholar die, where is the replacement? I'm talking about real scholars, people who are not only knowledgeable, but they practice. So the first thing we all have to remember, and this is for everybody, even online, when Allah opens an opportunity for learning, don't take it granted. And don't say, you know, I'm not coming this week, I'll come next week. You don't know there's going to be a next week. So take it and take it seriously, especially with the Quran. Ya Yahya, خذ الكتاب بقوة. Ya Yahya, Allah said this in Surah Maryam to Sayyidina Yahya. خُذِ الْكِتَابَ بِقُوَّةِ. Take the book with strength. What does strength mean? If you translate literally, قُوَّة is strength. Well, where's strength? Seriously. Take it seriously. When you open the Quran, when you read the Quran, don't just say, okay, alhamdulillah, I read. Allah knows what I read. You will be rewarded. I will be rewarded anyway. But when he specifically said قُوَّة, same word he said it to Sayyidina Musa. فَخُذْهَا بِقُوَّةٍ. He's talking about now the Torah. So anything knowledge, let alone knowledge of the Quran, let alone when we come to certain surahs, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for some reason, his wisdom, made them special. And this is actually the reason I chose Surah Al-Kahf. Why Surah Al-Kahf? Because you read it every Friday. Why do we read it every Friday? If I ask you, many of you will tell me it's sunnah. Absolutely true, but why? You're going to tell me, probably some of you will know, well, there's a hadith about it. But why? Right? I mean, the Quran is 114 chapters. All of them are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specified, for example, Surah Al-Kahf or Surah Yasin, as we had covered, right? Or why Surah Yusuf is all almost all the chapter is stories. Everything has a reason. And the smart person, I call the lucky person, the sight of Allah, when you know this and you keep it in front of you. So two things. Number one is keep yourself busy with the knowledge of Allah. And I'm going to do this announcement. I'll do it later at the end of it also. Walillah alhamd, next month, next door, we will open Jannah Institute on site. And this is the dream. I don't know why Allah put it in Irvine. It was always plan is to put, is to open it in St. Louis. Because that's where I live. That's where we started. Way more affordable and feasible. But Allah didn't want it. He opened it here. Subhanallah. Next month, we're going to be starting, inshallah. The summer courses are three. And these are intensive. These are not halaqa. These are intensive. You come and be a serious student and taste the joy of being a serious student. So we have done it, one for the woman a week, and one for the girls a week, and one for the boys, based on a lot of requests from the community. Because I did it during COVID, actually. And this is only a weekend. It's 5 days. Every day we're going to give you an appetizer of what is this Islamic studies. So one day will be fiqh, one day will be a creed, one day will be tazkiyah, one day will be Quran, and one day will be sunnah. I'm just going to give you examples. It's a 3 hours. It's literally appetizers. And then, inshallah, from September, we will be start our one-year program open for the on-site people. Take this opportunity for those of you who can. Again, because this is the only place. I don't know why Irvine. Literally, I was like, Ya Rabbi, in laka fiha hikmah. There's no other place. And I can't tell you how many people reached out to me to do it in another state. One of them is your competitor, Dallas. But I declined. So alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, all the information are out there. But let's go to Surah Al-Kahf now. Okay, why it's called, as always, when we come to a chapter, it's going to be at least 6 weeks. This today, it will be an introduction. And the last class will be the summary. In between, we're going to go into what does it have. We're not doing word by word. That's not the plan of this class. It's actually, what do you understand? How you apply it in your daily life. Any surah in the Quran, any chapter you're going to look at, we have said it many times. Number one is the name, right? And if I ask you, why is Surah Al-Kahf? All of you will answer me, because it's the story of Al-Kahf, right? Okay, so why it's not Surah Musa? Why it's not Surah Dhul-Qarnayn, right? Or Ashabul Qariya, Ashabul Jannah. There has to be something about the Kahf, the cave, that Allah wants me to pay attention to it in my daily life. So that's number one. Number two, is it a Makki or a Madani? Was revealed in Mecca or was revealed in Medina? You all read Surah Al-Kahf every Friday. You better be ready. I'm going to keep asking you, because this is a surah. You read it every Friday. Is it revealed in Mecca or in Medina? How many of you say Mecca? And how many of you say Medina? Okay, and how many of you say, I have no idea. I love it, right? It's definitely Mecca surah. There is some, but it's a weak opinion. It says the beginning of it was revealed in Medina, but it's a weak opinion. So number one, it was revealed in Mecca. Why do I care? Especially for the youth. Who cares, right? This is the common word we say. La, you need to care. Why? Because when it is in Mecca, that means it's something related to my relationship with Allah. And something has to do with my relationship with this deen, my creed, my belief. If it was revealed in Medina, it was something to do with my interaction with the Muslim community. In living in the West, we need the Meccan surahs, because we are bombarded with everything around us does not remind us of Allah. Am I true? I'm talking about daily life, not His creation, right? You go to work, who's going to remind you, astaghfirullah, right? You drive here, who's going to remind you, do this or do that? Everything reminds you the opposite. And most of the time, we feel we are strangers. Yes? Yes or no? We feel we are strangers. So Mecca surah, whenever I am weak, and this is for everybody, whenever you're weak, whenever your salah is not the best, whenever the temptations is becoming much more common and much less easier to go against them, then you need to start reading a Meccan surah. For example, Yusuf, when Surah Yusuf, when you are really going through a lot of challenges. Surah Al-Kahf, the main need of Surah Al-Kahf is when I am tested. And the tests is not the bad tests, because we always, when we think about tests, we think disease, we think loss of money. No, no. It is the test of luxury, test of power, test of the deen, and test of knowledge. These are the four things. Every week we go through it. You go to, let's say, school or university, and you think you know. And Allah teaches you how much we don't know. And even the most knowledgeable person still doesn't know. You go to your home, and your home is beautiful. Walillah alhamd. You go to your company, you open your closet, and you see all these beautiful things you have, all the jewelries, all the dunya. And that's the fitna of money. It's in Surah Al-Kahf. Third, which we are tested daily, is the fitna of our deen. We are being tested every single minute how to stay steadfast. And don't tell me you don't feel it. Even if you don't work, even if you don't leave the house, enough if you turn on your any gadget you have and see how much test. So you go through your TikTok. Is anybody is reminding you of Allah? Is anyone tells you, stay steadfast, there is akhirah? So test of deen, my religion, my faith. Literally, last week, two women reached out to me. I've never had this that frequent. Their children left Islam completely. And if when I was talking to the woman, this was face to face. I mean, there's nothing I can say because the woman tells you, I've done everything I can do. And I have no reason not to believe her because even the way she presented it, subhanAllah. Two of her children, and the other lady, two of her children. So the fitna, the test, the trials, the temptations, why do I want to be a Muslim? It's very difficult, it's hard, all this. Now, alhamdulillah, I don't have a problem with my deen. Alhamdulillah, I believe in Allah, I'm fine. Then you come to the test of money, which is the biggest one, especially here. Many of you have not lived outside California. But if you live outside California, those of you who have moved from outside California, you know how much temptations are here. It's beyond you. The weather is the biggest temptation. You may laugh, but it is. It is. The comfort, the beauty around you, everything, even the city is beautiful. It's one of the most beautiful cities I lived in. That's temptation. Because many of us are not grateful. We don't even think of it. Third is knowledge. And talk about the young people, or anybody got a PhD, or publish a paper, or do a presentation, and how much arrogance gets into us. And then the last but not the least, power. And to me, this is the most dangerous one. When Allah puts you as a leader in any form or shape, even as young as an MSA president, or MENA president, or whatever, but you have few people under your authority. And tell me you're going to stay focused on Allah. You're going to stay absolutely humble. And you're going to stay in saying, I didn't do anything, it's all from Allah. Basically, that's what Surah Al-Kahf. Every week it keep reminds me. And if you really pay attention, every week you're going to see which one I'm being tested. And if you analyze yourself, many of us, at least one of them. So in Surah Al-Kahf is not about my belief in Allah, rather how I stay focused and connected in Allah with all these tests around me. All these tests around me, and I'm going to stay going, focused. He keep reminding me. Very unique about Surah Al-Kahf. There is four stories in it. You all know that. Yes? Bismillah. We have first is the people of the Kahf. Youth. But they were focused on their deen and strong in their deen. Second, people of money. One has money, brag about it, and the other one doesn't have money. Third, there's a pause in between. I'll come to it. Third is Sayyidina Musa. the Prophet Musa, Kalimullah, the one who talked with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how Allah tested him and showed him he doesn't know. Subhanallah. Then the last but not the least, power. Dhul Qarnayn, the positive view of a person with power. Every story, pay attention to that. Every story, at the end of the story is done, there is a message from the story. And this is what I want you from next week. Please come, you already have read it because you know it. But tell me, where is the message at the end of the story? Every story has a message at the end. Allah talks to either Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, or he tells us. Summary, what do you need to learn from that? So next week, we're going to be covering the first one, which is the youth of the cave. What did he say at the end? Go to the two men of the gardens. See what he said at the end. Interestingly, in the middle, there's a pause, which is suddenly Allah starts talking about Iblis. And he's the only place in the Quran where he said, Iblis is min al-jinn. The only time he said, kana min al-jinn fafasqa an amri rabbi. I'm giving you all these things. I want you to think of it, write it down. If you can look it perfectly. So when I say it's not something new. But you need to ask, why did Allah, and again, you're not questioning the Quran. You really wants to know, why did Allah put this in the middle? He put one story, second, then came and talk about Iblis. It's not a story. We have heard this story many places, but it's different here. And then he goes back and talks about knowledge and talks about power. Beginning and the end is different. There is an introduction and there is a finale. The introduction is unique. There is five chapters in the Quran, starts by Alhamdulillah. Five places. If you go and look, five chapters in the Quran start by Alhamdulillah. Of course, the first one is Al-Fatiha. Second, Al-An'am. Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق السماوات والأرض وجعل الظلمات والنور. I'll translate all of them. Third one, Al-Kahf. Fourth one, Sabah. And fifth, Fatar. So five places starts by Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. Okay. And I keep saying this, and you're again not questioning Allah, but you're making yourself think deeper. Look at every time Allah said Alhamdulillah, what is followed by? Let's say Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah. So there is talk about Allah. Alhamdulillah, الذي خلق السماوات والأرض. All praise to the one who created heavens and earth. Who is that? Come to the Kahf. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل الكتاب على عبده. All praise to the one, there's no name of Allah, who sent down the book to his servant. Who is that? Lovely. Alhamdulillah, الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض. No, Alhamdulillah, الذي له ما في السماوات والأرض وله الحمد في الأولى والآخرة. This is Fatar. This is Sabah. Alhamdulillah, all praise to Allah. Now name, الذي له ما في السماوات والأرض. He has the domain, or he has the all what is in heavens and earth is to Allah. Fatar, the last one of his names. Alhamdulillah, فاطر السماوات والأرض. What does that teach us? Subhanallah, you all read the Quran, right? And you all have read Al-Fatiha, and you all have read Al-Kahf minimum. Why is this? Why there is Alhamd, all praise to Allah, connected to Allah? Why didn't he say, for example, Alhamdulillah, الذي أرسل الرسول? But it's all related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one. When you praise, and here is not praise, when you are grateful, Alhamd, there's a lot of, sisters, salam alaikum, there's a lot of chairs here. If you could just go from the other side, there is chairs here. When you say, let's think of it. I come to you and I say, Jazakillahu khair, right? That's a praise, that's Alhamd. What does that mean? You have done something to me, right? Yeah, it's thanking, but I need you to give deeper. Of course it's thanking. But why did I say it? you have done something to me, right? Doesn't matter, small or big. But when you have done something to me, what does that tell me? I couldn't do it. You did it, right? Are you with me? So when I'm praising, who should I praise? Who should I praise? Always, when you say Alhamd, and by the way, Alhamd is bigger than a shukr. We'll come to it later. Alhamd, when you praise in the Quran, and this is the book of Allah, who should I praise all the time? See, all the online people are answering. Allah, of course, because whatever you do to me, there's someone who did for you. If you go in the cascade of people, right, your friend helped you in school. Well, there's a teacher who taught this. There is somebody who taught the teacher. Go. There's always someone. But there is no one above Allah. So all praise. That's why when you see it in English, Alhamd is translated to all praise. Nobody else, no one else above him, subhanahu. And that's why all the praise is always related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For example, Az-Zumar, وَقِيلَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ at the end. What does that tell me? Okay, lovely. I love the analysis. Okay, what does it tell me in my daily life? Nobody deserves to be praised and grateful to but Allah. Beautiful. I love the statement. I need a practical answer. When I look at you and I say, if it was not for you, I will not have whatever you did to me. I did not praise Allah. And my tongue who says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen is not saying the truth. Because I should say, Alhamdulillah that Allah brought you to me and made my life easy. Did you get the point? Never put people equal to Allah. Never. We shouldn't. But reality, when you need something, someone comes to you and says, go and talk to her, or go and talk to him. He's the only one who can do it. Yes or no? You all are quiet now. Yes. And that is, I put a human being equal to Allah. And that's not Islam. I should always say, Alhamdulillah, Allah guided me to talk to somebody that he made him. There's always have to me, he made him. I think this is not working. Can you give me the other one? He made him or her able to help me. Jazakillah khair, habibi. So remember this. Don't you ever say to somebody, if it wasn't for you, I will never have done this. Sometimes patients say this to me. And if they are Muslims, I say, don't say it. Don't say it. Say, Alhamdulillah, Allah put on your hand cure. Or Alhamdulillah, Allah gave you this knowledge to teach me. So remember this. So Alhamd is only to Allah. Alhamd, praise, all praise is only to Allah. Literally, this something has to be engraved in our hearts. And the opposite is also true. No one can help me except Allah. But I can reach out to you, but if Allah did not want this to happen, you will not be able to. That's why we say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. Allah decreed, and whatever Allah decree will happen. What's the chapter before Al-Kahf? Al-Isra. What is Al-Isra? Wallah, you're looking at me as if you've never read the Quran. I wish I have a camera, a mirror. All of them, I was like, why is she asking? Again, one of the things you really have to start paying attention is the sequences. Why did Allah put Al-Isra, then he put Al-Kahf? Why didn't he put Al-Kahf, number one? Why does Al-Baqarah and then Ali Imran? There has to be a reason. This is one of the things you put, when you study, you put questions for you so you can look for the answers. There is always connections between every surah, every chapter, and the one after. We have said this many times. This is the fourth time I think we are talking about a chapter in the Quran. So what does Surah Al-Isra starts by? Subhana alladhi asra bi'abdihi layla. All glory to the one who, what? Send his servant in a night journey. How does Al-Kahf start? What is the relationship between Subhan and Alhamd? What is the relationship between glorifying Allah and praising Allah? Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. There's always praising Allah, always glorifying Allah and praising Allah are linked together. You know why? Because if you don't glorify Allah, you will not be grateful to Him. If you don't look at Him as the only one who can help you, you're not going to be grateful to Him. If I think you can help me, I'll be grateful to you. So the combination of Al-Isra starts by Subhan, followed by Alhamd. The beginning and the beginning. But the beauty of it is the end. For those of you who know the Quran, the end of Surah Al-Isra ends by what? Again, it's okay. I don't expect you to know because unless you have memorized it. وقيل الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق كل شيء وقدرنا الحمد لله الذي سبحان الله it's not coming to me لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وكبره تكبيرا it's the end of surah I didn't bring my Quran I should من الذل وكبره تكبيرا The last verse in Surah Al-Isra, last verse, after talking about all the journey, night journey, talking about the Quran, talking about our Aqidah, it's another Makki Surah, and was revealed at one of the toughest time on the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam. He ends by saying, Alhamdulillah. All praise, right? لم يتخذ ولد. Now, praising Allah by the characters that no one else has. He never had a child. لم يتخذ ولدا. ولم يكن له شريك في الملك and he has no partner وكبره تكبيرا and glorify him then you respond to this order because that's an order he's saying it to Rasul عليه الصلاة والسلام this is to you and me and you say الحمد لله now why you're praising Allah because he sent you the book if I don't have the Quran imagine this when I was in Hajj subhanAllah a couple of thoughts came up to me every time I go to Mecca but especially in Hajj if there was no Quran and no Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam how are we going to practice how are we going to become Muslim and that's why you need to be very grateful to something called Quran and very grateful to our Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam so the connection is there connection is there al-Isra al-Kahf you end al-Kahf Which is so interesting. قل لو كان البحر مدادا لكلمات ربي لنفد البحر قبل أن تنفد كلمات ربي ولو جئنا بمثله مددا. If the words of Allah, if the sea was so vast to contain the words of Allah, it will not be big enough to contain the words of Allah. That's how it ends, right? What does Maryam start with? Letters that we don't know the meaning of it. Go and figure it out. You know? Go and figure it out. It's the longest, kaf, ha, ya, ayn, sad, the longest combination of letters, we don't know the meaning of it. So when you're reading the end of Al-Kahf, and especially if you go to the ocean and you see and you reflect on the Quran and see how big is the ocean, the words of Allah is bigger, then Allah brings letters and say, okay, come on in. You know, come and do something. Combo. So always when you read, and Maryam is also Makki. So always when you read, ask these questions. Write it down. Search. And these things you can search because these are not something different opinion. Surah Al-Kahf, one of the few surahs that there is hadith about its virtues. And the hadith is not different opinion. The hadiths are following. There's one in Muslim, and there is one in Al-Hakim, and there is one in Al-Tirmidhi. All of them share one message. Does anyone know? Why do you read it every Friday? Why do you read it every Friday? Somebody raise your hand if you know. Yes. What is the hadith? Yes. Right. So there is something about tests. The daily test I talked about, but there is a biggest test we're going to get, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. And that's called the test of Ad-Dajjal. Do you know who is he? He's a human being that's going to come at the end of the day, at the end of the time, but he is going to claim he is prophet. And very few will know that he is not. And he's going to bring miracles that no way he is not. But only those people of real iman and taqwa will read it on his forehead that he's a liar. Otherwise, many will believe him and follow him. And that's one of the biggest tests we will get at the end. Because after all what you did in your life, and you obeyed Allah, alhamdulillah, but then we fail in this test. And that's why one of the du'as we are supposed to do before we say salam in our salah on daily basis, minimum 5 times, is we seek refuge from the test of the Dajjal and from the punishment of the grave. So Surah Al-Kahf, this is what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. There is memorizing and there is reading. And it's all about either the first 10 or the last 10 of Surah Al-Kahf. The first 10 and the last 10 is not the stories, it's just the introduction. And the last 10, and he said the following. I just want to make sure so I don't read the hadith wrong. This one is in Muslim. And he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, this is related by Abu Darda. Man hafidha 10 ayat min Surah Al-Kahf, usima min ad-dajjal. Right? Now, whomsoever memorized 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, general, 10. How many of you, show me hands, is okay, I want to see this, memorized all Surah Al-Kahf. All Surah Al-Kahf. All of it. One only. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Don't be shy. We have close to 60 here. We don't even have 10. Can I ask why not? Don't answer me. But I want you to go home and ask yourself this. Why not? Why not? If I ask you again the same question you have heard from me many times, give me a recipe right now from your memory about the most well-known, right, recipe in your country you came from or in the United States. All of you will give me the recipe. Or why not Surah Al-Kahf? It's 110 verses. You read it every Friday. It's not difficult to memorize. It's not challenging. It's not like some other. It's not. Because it's stories and doesn't have a lot of tough words or difficult words for us. So the first question everybody is going to ask yourself, why not? We keep asking Allah, why not? Why me? Then I'm going to ask to everybody, why you have not memorized Surah Al-Kahf? And don't answer me. May Allah forgive me. But Allah is going to ask you. 10 verses, at least start by 10 verses. 10 verses. If you memorize one verse a day, may Allah forgive me. Right? You need 110 days. And how much is 110 days? It's 4 months. Yani from now till the end of the year. 4. One verse a day. How long it takes? Okay. Review. What is the big deal? You listen to a song thousands of times. You play the same game many times and you enjoy it. You watch the same thing many times. I'm not saying haram. Inshallah, it's all halal. So put a goal that I am, this is my goal till the end of the year, right? We have absolutely 4 months and maybe half. I'm going to memorize one verse. Yanas, one verse a day. And you have it translated. And you have audio. And you name it and you have it. Man hafidha 10, who memorized 10, and this is the one in Muslim, you memorize 10, protected from a Dajjal. So when he comes and those millions don't read what's written on his forehead, if you have memorized those 10, you will read it and you will be saved. That's one. Second one, here also Abu Darda, he said, man qara'a, who read the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf, also we will be protected from the test of a Dajjal. So there is two opinions of it. The first one is stronger. So you read or you memorize. Question for everybody. I really want to see hands. Because we really need to know, where are we? How many of you, every Friday, they read Surah Al-Kahf? Every Friday. Less than 50% in this class. And this class is supposed to be the best of the best. My question to everybody, why not? And Friday starts from after Maghrib on Thursday. So don't tell me I work on day of Jumu'ah. Fine, read it Thursday night. And in fact, there is a hadith of virtue of reading it that night. Why not Thursday night after Maghrib? Before you go to bed on Thursday, right? Instead of scrolling or talking or texting or reading something that is not beneficial. Make it a habit. Make it a habit. At least start by reading. Every Thursday or every Friday, depends on your schedule. The more you read, memorization is much easier because your eyes will memorize where is it. Again, memorize it in, read it in transliteration. If you don't know the Arabic, that's fine. Read in transliteration, listen and work on it and put it as a goal till the end of the year. Man qara'a ashr, just 10. At the end, which is the last page, you will be protected from the test of al-Dajjal. If I tell you now, right? If once you leave, oh, I just came in and there was a huge accident, right, on Jeffrey. Try to avoid Jeffrey. Will anybody go to Jeffrey? Right? You're all gonna say, take left and go the other way. Why did you believe me when I said this? And then you didn't believe Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam when he told you this. And I didn't take any action. Why? Who can answer me? It's not a priority. So let's make this a priority. I want to be protected. You want to be protected? Take measures. We all, may Allah forgive us and don't you ever forget. We all wore those masks, remember? And those shields. And we stayed home. And we took the vaccine. Alhamdulillah, he lifted. But we did it. And I know there is going to be a fitna of a Dajjal. Why don't I prepare to protect myself? Surah Al-Kahf. The other one, he said, there is a virtue when you read it from one Friday to the other. Now, it is not about just reading it, but it's consistently between Friday and Friday. Now, combine everything I said. He said, من قرأ الكهف في يوم الجمعة, on the day of Jumu'ah, أضاء له من النور ما بين الجمعتين. You're going to have a light, and I'm going to come to it, but just translating. Whomsoever read Kahf one Friday and read Al-Kahf on the other Friday, in between, there is a light for him or for her. What is that light? And why between Friday and the other Friday? Combined with the tests we have. I read it and I said, hey, be careful. You just learned some deen, don't be arrogant. Hey, you are in a place, you just got a new job, and there is a lot of tests in the new job about your deen, right? You just got money. You were just appointed with a power. These are the four things. When you read it in that Jumu'ah, you're going to read it with understanding. Alhamdulillah, that's what we are doing. Then whatever happens in that Friday, in that week, you start your week and you already have what you need to stay strong. The light, what he says, the light is not the light, it's not a flashlight. I see reality. I see that when I don't pray at work, I see it. And I can, and there is no way you can tell me you cannot pray at work. I will not take this whatsoever. You know why? Because I went through it way before, when now everything is way easier. During September 11, after September 11, when you are the only one wears hijab in this 2,000 huge hospital, you can do it. So when you have read Surah Al-Kahf, you're going to go Saturday weekend, you went out, you know, you want to have fun, alhamdulillah, but you will stay focused on your deen, because Al-Kahf told you that you will be tested in your deen. So every Friday to the other Friday, you have a torch. It's not a physical torch. It's a spiritual torch that's going to make you see reality as reality. أَضَاءَ لَهُمَا بَيْنَ الْجُمْعَتَيْنِ. In the other hadith is even مَنْ قَرَاءَهَا لَيْلَةِ الْجُمْعَةِ. And I want you to pay attention to the beautiful catch here. He said, مَنْ قَرَاءَهَا لَيْلَةِ الْجُمْعَةِ, who read it at the night of Jum'ah. Now we are night. There will be the light between where he or she is and al-Baytul Atiq, meaning Mecca. Why? Night is dark. Mecca is very far. But Surah Al-Jumu'ah will put a light in front of you that you focus. What is al-Baytul Atiq? What is Mecca? What is the house of Allah? It's Allah. Surah Al-Kahf will make you attached, connected, protected, and see this life as its reality. Our issue, all of us, may Allah forgive me before anybody else, we don't see the world as we should. We don't see, none of us in this room, myself number one, and nobody online, see this dunya as it's temporary. We don't. Whether you are 15, whether you are 70, we're here forever. Yes? Yes or no? Yes. You know why? Because I don't plan otherwise. Right? There's a beautiful saying, I learned it years ago. Al-aqilu, al-aqilu, man taraka ad-dunya qabla an tatrukah. The wise person is the person who leaves dunya before dunya leaves him. وَعَمَّرَ قَبْرَهُ قَبْلَ أَن يَدْخُلَهُ, and build and flourished and furnished his or her grave before they enter. وَأَرْضَى مَوْلَاهُ قَبْلَ أَن يَلْقَاهُ, and pleased his or her Lord before they meet him. Is that true? Are we going to leave the dunya? Or the dunya will leave us? Doesn't matter how you look at it, but we're leaving. True? Yes? Perfect. Are we going to a grave? Yes or no?
Yes.
And are we meeting Allah? Lovely. What have we prepared? Did you leave dunya? What is leaving dunya? Doesn't mean I'm not going to do anything. Leave dunya. Don't get attached to it. And don't make it your focus. And I ask this myself and everybody else. When was the last time you cried just because you were reading the words of Allah, or you listened to a word of Allah, and all life is going exactly very well? And when was the last time you cried because Allah did not give you this or that? Or somebody said something about you? True or false? Then I am not leaving dunya before it leaves me. Right? When was the last time you bought something to your grave? And when was the last time you bought something for your house? Most of us, this last weekend, we bought something for the house. I'm not talking about food and drink, right? I need it. It's beautiful. It's on sale. Buy one, get one free. All these things they do to make us buy things we don't need. What did you buy for your grave? What furniture I need in the grave? Do you know? What is the best furniture for the grave? Al-Quran. Absolutely. It's the friend in the grave. It's going to give me light in the grave. Did you buy any? Did you even scroll through it as we scroll through all these websites to buy things? وَأَرْضَى مَوْلَاهُ قَبْلَ أَن يَلْقَاهُ. What did you do today to please Allah? Not to please yourself, not to please people. Something you did. Don't tell me I prayed. I'm talking about pleasing. You know when you please somebody? Meaning, you love someone and you want to please him. You don't just cook something. What do? You're going to go and figure out what they really love, right? And if it's a gift, you're going to wrap it beautifully. You're going to write this beautiful note. Yes? Nothing wrong. It's beautiful. And that person, he or she, will be very happy. What did you do for Allah this today? Today, from the morning, especially the youth, and you, it's off. It's summer. What did we do? أَرْضَى مَوْلَاهُ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَلْقَاهُ. That I pleased him before I met. I will meet him. That's what Surah Al-Kahf reminds me all the time. And especially pay attention to the end of the stories. Because the end of the stories, for example, when Allah talked about the people of Al-Kahf, right? The end of it, he told the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, stay away from those who are heedless. Why? To Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, because they will take you away from your deen. When he talked about the people, the two men of the garden, money, what did he say? The end of it. See how much you know Surah Al-Kahf. And you all read it every Friday. And he gave the parable of this dunya. كَمَا إِنْ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَطَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ. It's like a rain, and then get the water mixed with the whatever is on this, and then it becomes ashes, nothing. You spend all your time collecting, and then disobey Allah to collect, and then you hurt people to collect, and it's going to be like ashes at the end. Look what he said at the end of the story of Sayyidina Musa, and the end of the story of Sayyidina of Dhul Qarnayn. Because that's the messages. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a beautiful part of the beauty of the Quran, he doesn't only give you the problem, he gives you the solution. Because if you only identify the problem, you will not solve it. He gives you, this is the problem, be careful, you will be tested with your deen. Be careful, money is going to come to you, and it's going to lure you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be careful, I will give you knowledge, right? And you're going to be arrogant. But see what's going to happen. And then I'm going to give you power. And basically power, mother in the house is power. You have people under you. Father in the house is a power. You are promoted to become a head of something. You have people under you. That's power. I'm not talking about only presidents or, right? And then he said at the end, what should power do to you? What should knowledge do to you? What should money do to you? And what should the fitna of the deen do to you? So I hope all of you now start looking at Surah Al-Kahf differently. And when you read it again on Thursday night, number one, you promise Allah, don't promise me. Who am I? But you all promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and especially the youth, that each one remind the other. Either you, and the best is you fix your time. Fix a time that you always read Surah Al-Kahf. Because once you don't fix, I'm going to do it tomorrow. Right? Fix any time. Like for some of my teachers, they always read it after Fajr. Always. I normally do it when I'm driving, coming to the masjid, or wherever I am going, driving on a Friday. But definitely try to do it before Jumu'ah. Because once comes after Jumu'ah, time will pass. And once Maghrib comes in, you're done. It's not Jumu'ah anymore. Or do it Thursday. A lot of people I know, they do it Thursday night. Number one, the hadith, that you will have light, and also you're safe. You're not postponing. Again, people are different, but make a promise to Allah and make dua to Allah to help you. Ya Allah, make me remember. Because many of us forget. That's one of the ways of shaitan. Make me remember. Put a reminder on your phone. Friends or people in the same house. Get people together and read it. Read it together. Not necessarily loud. But all of you get it, get the Quran, sit and read Surah Al-Kahf, so you will remember. But I'm not saying read it loud because you don't want to go into the different opinion. But the most important thing, make a promise to Allah. No Friday is going to go without you reading Surah Al-Jumu'ah and Surah Al-Kahf. You know why? Because when the Friday goes, it's not going to come back. And that's gone. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those people who listen to the words of admonition and listen to it, understand it and practice it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who are attached to His words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make the Quran and Surah Al-Kahf especially a light for our hearts. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. Next week we will cover the story of the Kahf, the cave, and I want all the youth to attend. Because they were literally bring all your youth. Even if you have boys, bring them next week. It's okay. Because it's talking about youth. They're fitia, young people. And the younger you are, and the younger you know the deen, the right way, not the no right way, just do it. You understand it, you love it, the more impact it will have on you. The younger you start, the better. So alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, next week I want you please read it. And do yourself at least a favor and read it and see what catches your eyes. I'm even going to leave 10 minutes for questions and answers. Because I want you to read, think, understand. And then if you don't understand, alhamdulillah, that's why we are here. So that's number one. Second thing, I'm going to do the same announcement I did in the beginning. Since now, alhamdulillah, we have way more. Next month, inshallah, August 12th, we'll start our Jannah Institute on site. And it's going to be in the next building, 5540 upstairs. And I'm saying this, and honestly, I don't know why, because I kept asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have a hikm, but you didn't show me. I don't know why it ended up in Irvine. It was never in my mind, I'm going to do it in Irvine, for many reasons. But Allah wanted it. And when Allah wants, it happens. It happens so smooth, subhanAllah. And alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, we are offering summer intensive as a start. 3 courses, 1 for the woman, 1 for the girls. Girls is 12, and we actually opened it even to college students. And 1 for the boys. Boys is only a weekend. We are starting with the girls because of school. It's 5 days. Every day is 3 hours. And what we're going to learn, and I'm going to start introducing the appetizers to the Irvine people, and not only to Irvine, to Southern California, is what does it mean? And what are you learning when you study this deen? So we're going to have every day 1 topic. 5 topics when you study Islamic studies. You have to learn about. And then everything then gets way more deeper and different. Number one is, what do we believe in? And number two, what is this Quran? And number three, who's the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam? And what did he say? And 5, how do we practice? And 4, how do we practice? And 5, how do we stay connected? Which is tazkiyah, fiqh, hadith, Quran, and aqidah, creed. So this is how we will do 3 hours a day. Registration is open, alhamdulillah. And it's only for the local. We're not opening it online. That's going to be special for you. Right? Unless really there is a reason and if Allah wills. But in general. So please, when after Maghrib, there is all the registrations are opened outside. Anybody has any question, let me know. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it a blessed place. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me and you worthy of this knowledge. This is extremely important. Because if we are not, Allah will take it away. Ya Rabbi, Ameen. Jazakum Allahu khayran. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi tasliman kathira. Any questions? We still have... What time is Maghrib? 59? I can't remember. Because I have now adhan in my house and I just follow the adhan. 2 more minutes, right?